This recording is from Christ Kingdom Church in Waterford Lakes, East Orlando. Visit us online at christkingdom.org for our calendar, driving directions, and more audio recordings.
Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Well, we will see, won't we? Well, if you haven't already turned there in your Bible, we're looking at three passages this morning. It's also printed out in that scripture insert that's in your bulletin, so that might be helpful to look at and refer to as well this morning. Well, we're starting a series for this Advent season called The Gift of God. And obviously, let me go ahead and just explain for you. Do we have the sermon stuff, media shout? Oh, there we go. Let me go ahead and read the basis for that passage, this basis for the title, this theme this morning from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 4 through 5, and 8 through 9. Hear God's word again. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This is God's word. Jesus coming to earth is a gift. But specifically what the gift is life found in him. You know, there's a story that goes about a family who had been receiving from a distant relative, I think it was a grandmother sending each year a fruitcake. Now, how many people here, be honest, like fruitcake? Raise your hand. All right, there are more than I thought. There's like seven of you. And you should feel special because I think you're the only seven on the planet that actually like fruitcake. Well, this family was like most families, like my family, like me, in that they really didn't care much for fruitcake. I mean, it's a nice gesture. You know, it looks kind of pretty in there. It smells a little different. And they only come out around Christmas time, and really nobody knows why, but there they are. And here one came, and they would get one year after year with a nice little Merry Christmas tag on it, a nice little card, and wishing you a Merry Christmas, and hope you have a blessed time, and so on. Well, you know, after like 7 years of this, the family finally decides, we ought to open this up one time. Let's just take a bite. We're feeling bad. You know, it's like the seventh year. We haven't even opened this thing. You know, we keep it out on the counter. We look at it, and then we kind of throw it away once Christmas passes. And, you know, we appreciate the thought. And so they decide, let's open it up. So they open it up this year. And part of why they open it up is because the card was a little intriguing. See, the card this year said, oh, I know it's my normal fruit gift, but I put a little extra, a little bit more this time than I normally do in it. She said, I'm sorry, I wasn't able to give as much as I normally give in it, but I still hope you appreciate it anyway. So they thought, we've got to open this baby up. So they open it up, and what they didn't realize, that underneath it was another envelope that had cash in it. And it was only $1,000 this year. And she was apologetic. That was a little less than normal than what like she'd give. Can you imagine that feeling? Can you imagine your new acquired taste for fruitcake at this point? Can you imagine the awareness that all along we got a gift that we never opened, and therefore we missed the significance of it? And in some ways, the big ways, missed the main gift. Let me tell you something. That's a profound story, and it has a profound truth, because if you believe that celebrating the fact that Jesus came to earth is experiencing the gift of Christmas, it's a fruitcake wrapped up sitting on your counter. You're missing the main point. You're missing the real gift if he remains wrapped up, if he remains a cute little baby in a manger scene, worthy of coddling. And he never is realized and understood that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one who said, let there be light. And that's why we read John chapter 1 this morning. He was with the Father in the beginning, with the creation of the world. He shared in speaking the words, let there be light. And John 8 tells us that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So as we look at it here this morning, that's my hope and that's my desire, is that we would see that we would not miss the real gift of God. And I apologize if I don't tie this now. It is not going to be pretty later. Well, as we look at the different gifts of Christmas, specifically here this morning, we're going to look at the gift of light. We're going to look at the gift of light that he gives us. You know, light isn't appreciated as a gift, really, until one is trapped in darkness, until one is in a place where they have no light. For example, part of one of our Tough Mudder challenges yesterday was going through a tunnel underground. I don't know, it was maybe 3 or 4 feet underground. But there was a certain place in the middle of it that light was absent. Now, you knew there was walls on either side of you. There was a roof. There was a ceiling. There was, of course, mud that you're crawling through. You knew there must be light at the end, but all you could do is just keep going forward. But let me tell you, when the first time I saw a crack of light, when I turned a corner, I was relieved, okay? Because darkness is not a place you want to stay in for very long, is it? It brings relief. I remember going the few trips I've gone of my life spelunking. You can't ever go spelunking and not stop and pause and say, everybody turn out their light. And just experience what real pitch darkness is like. But there's not a single person that's not at least a little bit relieved when it's time for the phone lights back on, especially as you're making your way out, trying to find your way out. Light is desperate. It's needed. And you don't really appreciate it, do you, until you're trapped in darkness, until you experience darkness. And nobody could experience that or say that or talk about that more than somebody who's lost their sight, somebody who's blind. And thankfully, we don't have anybody in our church here, and I hope we don't ever, but, I mean, they'd be welcome, of course, but there's nobody here that could talk and stand up and say, what's that like? But I bet some of you have met or heard or seen people on the TV or read about them in a book or studied Helen Keller to know that darkness is not a thing that anyone desires or would choose and pick on their own. Certainly not permanent darkness. So light's important, and it's significant when Jesus says he is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. John 1, which we already heard read already by Joy, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made, and in him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That light is the Word that became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. Glory is the only one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And if that wasn't clear enough, Jesus later in John chapter 8 says in verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. In him was life. And he's the light, the life of men. You know, what was lost in the Garden of Eden was more than sinlessness. It was the source of our life, was snuffed out like a candle inside, gone. You see, because Jesus is the light. When the Father's glory and when his ultimate intimate presence with him was rejected for the hope of finding something maybe a little bit better, or the hope of being equal to God as the serpent tempted them, they lost it. You know, it reminds me of, some of you are old enough to remember the old tube TV screens, that whenever you turn the TV off, it would kind of like flash, and there'd be the line, and that line would come down to a center dot, and that dot, if you stared at it, which I did many times, kids don't do that, it's not good, would slowly fade out. I wanted to see how long it would take for it to be slowly gone. When Adam and Eve sinned, it was like the power of God turned off, lost, and there's this little bit of a glow, and it fades more and more and more until that person, their life ceases to exist here on earth. Everyone, I believe, who's born has that reflection of a light that we know. We were made in the image of God. We were made understanding that there is life apart from ourselves. We were made realizing, because when we see light, we recognize it and we go, that's good. When we see something noble happen that is merciful, that is gracious to others, we applaud it. We take extra time during the holiday season to do things like that because we know there's something right about it. There's something good about it. It's a reflection of it. It is that light, that glow that's in our life that's fading from us. Because Adam and Eve, they had probably the worst experience. They had experienced full glory of God, full intimacy with him, unhindered by sin, and they saw it go away. But we are born with simply the reflections, with the images of knowing that we were made for something different, knowing that this world was designed for something better. And when we get glimpses of it, we go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But if we're honest, there is a sense of the honesty of understanding that there is a fading of that light in our own lives. What we try to grasp for, and right, the midlife crisis around age 40 most is when most people hit and realize that I'm not getting what I thought I was going to go for. I got to settle for something else. Get me the red car. You know, get me the retirement account. Get me the house on the beach. Whatever you have to do, you get to a place where you try to, let's get as good as I can get in this life. We all reach a point at some place, don't we, where we begin to settle. And how sad it is when our teenagers, college students settle. And there's no longer the dreams and the hopes of something changing this world and leaving it a little bit better than you found it. What's all that? It's a glimmer of a reflection of a hint that we were made for something different. That the image of God that still resonates inside of each of us, although it is empty from the presence of God, we still realize that whatever we try to fill in there, it just rattles around and it never fills it. So more than any time of year, this time, we're going to try to fill it. We're going to try to stop the rattling. We're going to try to give us meaning and significance. We're going to try to do things that make us feel a little bit better about ourselves. We're going to try to do things that would be good and will be helpful to help others in need. We're going to give gifts away to other people. We're going to care about other people in ways that we normally don't. We're going to gather as families. We're going to do sweet things. And we're going to inoculate ourselves by giving us just a little bit of something that we know is bigger than us, something we know that did not originate on this earth. And we're going to hope that it lasts another 11 months to carry us through. Because let me tell you, December 26th, if not then, certainly mid-January, there's going to be a point where we're going to be like, what was that? Still haven't put the Christmas decorations back up in the attic. Great. There's going to be those feelings, aren't there? There's going to be a sense that we had a glimmer of something, but what was that? Jesus is the light of the world. And the scriptures don't stop with that. They say, if we do not follow Jesus, we walk in darkness. If we do not follow Jesus, we walk in darkness. Romans 1, 21 through 25, you heard it read earlier. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies and one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. If we do not follow Jesus, the scriptures are not fuzzy. We walk in darkness, whether we realize it or not, whether we think we do or not, whether we get in a support group or talk to just the right counselor that makes you think you don't, you do. Have you guys seen some of those YouTube videos? There are a few that float around now where somebody either who can't hear or hasn't been able to see takes maybe the bandages off for the first time after an operation, or they can, with the electronic device, hear for the first time. Some of the most moving things you can watch is to see somebody who knew or thought they knew that they were deaf or they were blind to finally discover and realize, this is what I've been missing. There's usually not a single dry eye in the room or on the other side of the computer screen watching it. Because we know there's a depth of a knowledge of understanding now what they had been missing that they have gained. Can you believe honestly, if there's anybody here that would say, honestly, I don't follow Jesus Christ, could you honestly believe that if you were to understand an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, that you could be that profoundly touched as somebody who sees for the first moment that is true? That is really the case. We walk in darkness if we don't walk with Jesus Christ. And in some real ways, we don't even know what we're missing until our eyes are opened, until we can see. How blessed Bartimaeus must have been to see for the first time, and his first thing to see being Jesus. Not only did he see light, he saw the one who is the source of all light. Is it a wonder why light, other than the heavens and the earth, is the first thing that God said, let there be light? Is there some reason why that there's no sun and moon in the new heavens and the new earth in heaven? Yeah, there's no sun or no moon. There's no sunset that you're going to ever watch in heaven, ever. But don't be disappointed. Because the one who illuminates the city of the God is God himself. And he doesn't set. He doesn't rise. He's there always. You will not be disappointed. Jesus is the light of the world, but those who do not follow him walk in darkness. That is why Isaiah 9:2 says, prophesying about the coming of Jesus, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. If we do not follow Jesus, we walk in darkness. When we had originally rejected the light of God back in the Garden of Eden, God sends his light to earth in the form of his Son. And light does what it always does. It dispelled darkness. Light disperses darkness. And Jesus came to do that in Israel, but he came to do that most and primarily in the hearts of men and women who trust and follow him. John 8:12, we already read it again. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, he will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So why do we prefer darkness to light, you might ask? Why do we prefer that? If light is offered, I mean, why would a blind person neglect or turn away or refuse the opportunity to see? Well, honestly, right, he or she would not refuse it unless they thought that somehow it was better, the condition that they're in as it is. Or somehow there'd be a greater threat that seeing would bring, right? Unless they thought there was a greater threat or there was a greater opportunity being in the state that they're at, they would never refuse the opportunity to see again, to see light, would they? And let me say, on a spiritual level, it is the same. The reason why we can celebrate Jesus and hear the songs and everything else, especially at Christmas time, but still refuse to walk into it because we think the condition that we're in not following Jesus is somehow better or safer than the condition we would be in if we were following him. That's just an honest answer. Or unless we just think Jesus is a complete myth altogether, along with Frosty and Jack Frost and all the other Christmas characters. There's apparent safety in darkness spiritually. You see, enough of our failures and weaknesses have already been exposed by this life. All you have to do is get to middle school, right? To realize that your failures and weaknesses will be exposed. Yeah, mom and dad tell you how sweet and how good you are, but you want honesty? Meet your sixth grade classmates, right? How many of you would go back and walk through middle school on purpose? Few of us, probably. High school, not as bad. College, yeah. Okay, but not middle school, right? There's a reality that comes there with that, of seeing your weaknesses exposed, and it's not mom and dad, they're just telling you the sweet things, or a sweet teacher. You've got honest classmates, and we've had enough of our failures and weaknesses already exposed in life. Why risk having more exposed? Because that's what light does. It exposes things. There's comfort in hidden truth in darkness, but light exposes the real truth, doesn't it? The good, the bad, and the ugly. How many of you have read been on Space Mountain at Disney World? Okay, most here? All right. How many of you been on Space Mountain when your roller coaster stopped and all of a sudden the lights turned on? Anybody? It's a different world, isn't it? All right. I thought this was a cool ride and everything else, but all of a sudden, I can't remember, we were at one point in Junction, and then the ride stopped and the computer voice came on and said, we're having technical difficulties. And the next thing I knew, all the fluorescent lights and the entire, you know, building came on. And I was amazed. This thing wasn't nearly as scary as I thought it must be. And I was thinking, they need to paint in here. Look at this thing. Who's in charge of cleaning this place up? All right? All the sterility of the reality of light exposed everything in that place. And at least for that ride, it took away something. It took away the mystery and things like that. But you know what? It gave me the truth and the reality. I saw clearly what was really there. To follow Jesus Christ means the light of the world comes and takes residence in your life. And it does expose the darkness. But let me challenge you today, because even though there is a real enemy out there, even though your sinful flesh agrees with the real enemy out there, they both say you're better off like you are. They both say don't risk coming in and being exposed to come and humble yourself before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who knows everything, who knows every thought you've had before it ever became a reality, who knows every sinful inclination of your heart and the ones that you've even clouded and rationalized into thinking they're not even sinful. He knows those. And the ones that you think are just fine, that are rooted in selfishness and pride and arrogance that you're not even aware of. The scriptures say, who can know the human heart other than the mind of God? We don't even understand the depths of our human heart and its sinfulness and its darkness. So invite him to come in and fill us with light. You will never, ever make that choice unless you believe that there is something that comes in that process that's better than where you're at. If you don't believe that there's something that you're longing for, that the darkness simply squelches, simply appeases, that there's one that can satisfy. Can you imagine the reality of having your full self exposed? And God saying, you know all those blemishes? You know all that junk? You know all that stuff that you hope nobody else would see that you've been sweeping under the rug of your own heart? I see it. In fact, let's look at it together. Tell you what, let's transfer residence of this sinful heart and let's put my name on it and say this house, the title now resides on Jesus Christ. He will be treated as the guilty one for all the offenses that are in this room of your heart, all that it exposes. And the heart of Christ, which was perfectly pure without a single sinful thought ever, which was completely in obedience and servanthood to his Father in heaven, who the voice from heaven came down and said, this is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. That voice of God the Creator, the supreme being of the universe, you could take title to his heart. And all the righteousness that Jesus rightfully had and owned and never lost can be treated as yours. But it's an exchange. Jesus takes title of yours. Jesus takes responsibility as if he was the one that committed every single sin that you have committed, that you're currently involved with, and that you will commit in your last days here on earth. He'll take it. Now, if you really believe that that's what light does, and that you could be really, really forgiven and really fully accepted by the God who created you and no longer need to worry about what other people think about you, no longer have to get super excited about a compliment because you're like, I feel valued for the moment, or no longer have to be too torn down by criticism because you're really counting on people thinking you're good. Can you imagine the freedom? Can you imagine the security? That would be a gift, wouldn't it? So the real question is, because that's what the Bible teaches, by the way, is will you open and unwrap that gift today? Some of us are people who have walked with God and we've kind of, that gift's gotten dusty and it sits on a shelf. Will you pull it down here again today and experience that fresh again and know that that is how God has received you as you walk with him. Jesus is the light of the world. And let me close reading with Ephesians again. As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Receive it. Walk in it today. Make it a Merry Christmas by following faithfully the one who is Christmas, Jesus himself. Let's pray. God, I ask that you would come and you would reveal your power and your presence in a fresh way to us this morning. Would you come and remind us, God, of what you have done, and the gift of God that we have, the gift of life that we have, and specifically how you've expressed it by light, shining in the darkness. And yes, a darkness doesn't understand it, but when it receives the light, it doesn't have to. The light comes, floods us, shows us, God, that we are indeed loved, forgiven. And Father, for any that might be here this morning, that might be in a place where they know that they haven't really opened that gift. Oh, they've gone to church. Oh, they've got the title of Christian. Or, oh, they've read the Bible before, or different things. God, maybe those that maybe have never really experienced and received that gift of light, God, would come and trust that this morning. Would you lead them now to come and simply place their faith and trust in you, to come and receive that gift, to come and trust that Jesus will indeed, yes, expose their sinfulness, but he will indeed take it and pay for it and take it as his own. And he died on a cross to make full payment for it so that they might know the full righteousness that Jesus earned in their place. They might rest in that. So God, may that gift be experienced maybe by some for the first time this morning. For those of us who are followers of you, but it's gotten dusty, that gift, may it be brushed off, may it be renewed this morning, may it be refreshed in our souls to be reminded of that. God, may it give us a freedom and awareness, God, to come to you, even as we come to your table, to confess our sins, knowing that your light exposes it, whether we want to pretend it's there or not, that your light is there, and you know it. May we forsake that this morning and experience your mercy and grace, knowing that your mercies are new every morning, including this one. So God, would you come? Would you work in our hearts? Would you apply it? Would you let it be a Merry Christmas by your definition? One that's filled with the joy and the hope of the one who is what Christmas is all about, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.